You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Tuesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Check in with Nick Wright, the always opinionated Nick Wright on loan from First Things First on Fox Sports. You know, the Jets draft situation is now really interesting because it was predictable when they were not going to win a game because they were going to take Trevor Lawrence. Now, all of a sudden, they'll sit there at the number two spot because the Bengals won last night. Therefore, the Jets can't lose the second spot. So the Jets are now looking at this and going, all right, we drafted a tackle last year. Now what do we draft? What do we need? Well, basically everything. You know, maybe a running back who's in his 20s might help, but you have a sitting down. I wouldn't take a running back at number two overall, but I would be trading out of that. And if you can't get Trevor Lawrence, I would really think long and hard about, do I want to take Zach Wilson at BYU? Do I want to take Trey Lance from North Dakota State? Kyle Trask in there, Justin Fields in there. I would think long and hard about that if I'm the Jets. Have you seen what Sam Darnold can truly be? And I don't think you have. I think we've seen moments there, but given the situation there, the circumstances, it's pretty hard to achieve any kind of success, anything consistent with that Jets team. But the Jets, when they're on the clock, if they stay there at number two, boy, is that fascinating. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Bowl games coming up. It's Tulane, Nevada, Central Florida, BYU. Army is going to play in the Liberty Bowl against West Virginia. Tonight, Warriors, Nets, Clippers, and the Lakers. Spent a lot of time the first 2 hours talking about the Bengals beating the Steelers, and they win it comfortably. They win by 10. And it's a situation where you're going, okay, you can't say this is just a one-off. Plus, it's a standalone game. Whenever we have these Monday nights or Tuesday nights or you have a Thursday night, even Sunday night, the standalone game is where everybody reacts. Now, granted, if the Steelers had lost to the Bengals Sunday at 1 o'clock, this would still be one of the headline games. But that's a standalone game where now everybody watches and everybody has an opinion. What is wrong with the Steelers? Here's Mike Tomlin, the head coach, on his team's confidence level.
Mike, what's your sense regarding your team's confidence level, and are you concerned it's getting a little fragile?
Should we better not be confident after a performance like that? I'm not concerned about our confidence. We got work to do.
The Steelers had 40 total yards in the first half last night. They had more turnovers in the first half, 3, than they did first downs. I can pin a lot of this on the defense losing some really good players, Devin Bush, Bud Dupree. But this is on the offense. This is on Ben Roethlisberger. Those wide receivers, no running attack. And they got pushed around. That's the most surprising part of this is – it's just like when the Jets played the Rams, and you think this is one of those body swap movies where you go, oh, I see, the Rams are playing, they're in Jets uniforms, and that's not the case. I mean, the Jets were more physical with the Rams, and the Bengals were more physical with the Steelers last night. And the fact that you have Ryan Finley, who threw for less than 100 yards, what happens when you face Patrick Mahomes? I mean, Ryan Finley completed 2 passes in the second half for 14 yards. And that team won by 10. This isn't just one loss. This is 3 in a row, and it goes back to even when they were winning games. I go back to that Ravens game where I'm going, why are you not up by 4 touchdowns here? So this is a bigger issue, and you know, I'm looking at Pittsburgh. Do you get right against the Colts, where I think you're going to be an underdog, and then you have the Browns at the end of the year, and then you're going to go into the postseason, and you only got 2 teams in the postseason who are getting that first week off, the top seed in the NFC and the top seed in the AFC. Everybody else is playing, and usually that's where you need to hit the ground running, and the Steelers better get something right here really soon, or they're going to be a quick exit team coming up. If you'd like to get in touch, you can dial us up. You can email. You can tweet. Say good morning to Peacock. That's our TV partner. They've been a wonderful partner. I hope you enjoyed being able to see the show on Peacock. You can download the app. You can watch for free. And, of course, our great radio lineup. We have more affiliates than any other sports show in America. We're up over 300 and plus. We've lost track. We've got that many. But we say thank you for all your support this entire year. Are you going to stay with that poll question in the final hour, McLevin?
No, let's switch it up. The question was, who is the least scary AFC playoff contender? Dolphins 1, Steelers 2, and very close. I have an NBA question for you.
Okay.
Who is most likely or more likely to win a title in the next 2 years, the Brooklyn Nets or the Golden State Warriors? 3 years. Let's say 3 years.
Well, yeah, you got to do three because then you're just saying it's next year when Klay Thompson comes back because they're not winning it this year. I guess I would go with Brooklyn because I'm not sure what Klay is going to be like when he comes back. You know, Steph Curry is over 30. You know, is James Wiseman going to develop into a really good player? I don't know that. Feels like Brooklyn's not done adding to their roster. The Duttons are back. Yellowstone Season 3. Kevin Costner is the star, streaming now exclusively on Peacock. Whether you're a newcomer to the ranch or a seasoned pro, you don't want to miss the epic season. Oh, there's some great spoilers here, but I'm not going to do that. Cliffhanger there at the end. You can stream all three seasons now. The NBA kicks off tonight, and a little added drama. It's Kevin Durant and the Nets against his former team, the Warriors. Kevin Durant had this to say about playing Golden State.
I seen Draymond in the summer. We ran into each other at a restaurant. It's good to see him and his family. You know, talk to Steph a couple of times, and so it's good to see from afar, see everybody's doing well, and realize that these bonds that we created will never be broken, no matter what jerseys we put on. It's like when you see guys you won a championship with, and you had long playoff runs with, you know, you have a different connection. So I'm very grateful for my time in the Bay Area, and I'll always be a Warrior in my heart.
That's where I would have followed up by saying, so in your heart, you're a Warrior. What's that say about the Nets? And where did the Thunder fit in? You know, on your body, just let me know. Like, if the Warriors are in your heart, then the Nets are in your head? I could get, help me understand this, Kevin. Doesn't it feel like everybody's in his head? Yes, Seton.
It's like that game of Operation.
Yeah.
You know, where you can like, yeah.
Where is Kevin? Where are the Nets and Kevin Durant? Where's the Thunder? Who knows? I didn't know that he left his heart in San Francisco, but apparently he did. You know, we tend to look at these things and then we want to make this a bigger thing where we go, what about Durant's legacy? Much like LeBron, he's going to be judged how many titles he wins. And fair or not, the perception that he walked onto a championship team in Golden State, and if he can win in Brooklyn, it'll be a different story, but they're trying to create a super team there. If they would get James Harden, I don't know if the skeptics, those who cover the NBA, are going to be that lenient with Kevin Durant, say, yeah, but he had to build another super team to win. Kevin Durant is a great player. Is he a top 10 player of all time? Not yet, but I think he'll end up there. And I always go back to, if I put somebody in, like we love to put 18 guys in the top 10 all time. And I go, you got to take somebody out. You know, that's how it works. They go in and then who you take it out. And who is that person going to be? Probably Karl Malone comes out. You know, you're going to have Michael, LeBron, Kareem, Magic, Larry. You know, Oscar's in, and as sacrilegious as this is going to sound because I got to see him play in Cincinnati, I don't think he's a top 10 player of all time. I don't think he'll be a top 10 player of all time. He won the one title in Milwaukee when Kareem was there, but I don't know if that's going to hold up. I mean, you got to understand, he was 6'5". He was 6'5" point guard back then in the 60s. And he put up some incredible numbers. if he doesn't average a triple double, I don't know if history is as kind to Oscar Robertson. He was a great college player too, man. But he didn't win a national title. And then he won his one NBA title with Kareem. I don't know if history will look at Oscar as friendly, you know, in the coming years. I'm trying to think who else, who is in the top 10 that might be coming out. Yeah, Paulie.
Is there, I hate to even bring this up, is there any chance Larry Bird, because of lack of longevity, exits the top 10, or is he entrenched?
Well, it depends, because is Steph Curry getting in the top 10? When it's all said and done, is Steph Curry a top 10 player of all time?
A lot of time left. Durant's got a lot of time left. They're both 30, 31.
Yeah, but are they getting in? I know there's time left. Are they getting in?
I was wondering about Durant. Is he kind of entrenched in that second tier? Like, Hakeem Olajuwon is never discussed as the great NBA players of all time, that top 10 list. But he's entrenched in 11 through 20. It kind of feels like Durant may be in that group forever.
Well, we hold it against Olajuwon. You won two titles, but Jordan was playing baseball. Okay. You still won two titles. Like, guys who've won titles and star player, like Jordan won his title against the Lakers when Magic was hurt. Like, we never go, yeah, but that shouldn't really count. Guys who've played and won titles against, you know, the Spurs played the Knicks and Patrick Ewing wasn't there. Nobody says, well, Tim Duncan, you know, he didn't win all those titles. So we really, the only people we do it, LeBron, you do it. And, you know, we might do that with Olajuwon. We do that. I don't know if we do it with too many other players, but, you know, that's if you're trying to win an argument. Who's in the top 10, McLovin?
Did you say Shaq, by the way? Sorry.
Shaq is a top 10 player. Yep. Kobe.
Yeah. I mean, is there any chance Wilt falls over time?
It would be unfair to Wilt because we celebrate Babe Ruth, but we don't celebrate Wilt Chamberlain. And Wilt did Babe Ruth-like stuff on the basketball floor, but we don't celebrate him the same way. And we have no problem including all the Babe stats. There was no integration. But Wilt, we sort of dismiss those stats. But nobody else's stats. But his, we do. We go, yeah, but come on. I mean, who was he playing against? Like, Wilt's supposed to go, you know what? I'm going to sit out for the next decade because there's nobody good playing here. Like, let me wait till we have really good players in the NBA. He dominated who was in front of him. But, yeah, it feels statistically Wilt has to stay in, I think. Yeah, McLovin.
I just looked at two lists, and Tim Duncan is all over the place. He's top 10 in one and not in another. I don't, and stats wise, he'll never be top 10, right?
No, but if I'm looking, okay, this is ESPN's. You got Shaq and Kobe, 10, 9. You got 8. You have Tim Duncan. Larry is 7. Wilt is 6. Magic, 5. Bill Russell. I don't think Bill Russell's a top 10 player of all time.
Here we go. You're starting to get upset. I can feel it.
No. Do this for anybody else on the Celtics who won? Tommy Heinsohn won 8 titles, I think. I think he won 8. And he was a Hall of Famer and an all-star. He's not on anybody's list. But he won. Well, Bill Russell was the greatest team player in all of sports. I think we can all agree on that. Won in San Francisco in the college level, won an Olympic gold, and he won in the NBA. I get all of those things, but he doesn't belong in as one of the top 10 players of all time. He doesn't. Kareem is in there. Then it's LeBron, and then it's Michael. Yeah, Paul.
Is putting Bill Russell on the list, I'm asking, not saying, kind of like putting Terry Bradshaw or Jack Lambert or one of the Steelers, someone has to represent that team a long run of greatness? You know, like someone has to represent it.
I guess, but I mean, Russell is a winner. It sounds strange to say any of this. You know, I never saw Russell play in person. Not that that matters. I got to see Oscar. I got to see, I think, every player on here, including Wilt, in person. But Bill Russell was, he retired right before I got an opportunity to go and see the Celtics in person. I just think he's a great winner. He's a great team player. I just don't think he's one of the great players of all time. Just don't. And it sounds strange to say it. And, you know, if you had a big game to win, you know, it's just different because you see, you know, Bill Russell at 6'9 and probably 225. Like he's not able to compete with these guys. And then, you know, you factor that in and we shouldn't factor that in. Wilt was 7'1, 275. So Wilt would be able to still play in today's NBA. He wouldn't be as dominating, but yeah, it just gets tricky because then you go, well, what if Shaq played back in the 60s? You're right. What if Kobe? You're right. All of those things. I think Bill Russell is the greatest team winner in all the sports, but I don't think individually he was a great basketball player. Yeah, Paul.
I've been wanting to ask you this. Young Lou Alcindor with the Milwaukee Bucks or early Lakers Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, was he by far the greatest player in the NBA, or was it him and a few other people being discussed as the best player in the early to mid-70s?
Kareem, to me, was the most dominating player of all time, and he came out of UCLA, went right into the Bucks, and led him to a title. I mean, he was one of those, I'll get 30 and 18. But it was never enough because we always thought, gosh, he should be even more dominant.
Really?
But that was always the feeling with the big man. I mean, Shaq, his entire career was, gosh, if he'd only make free throws. You know, Kareem was unbelievable. Back then, there was no one like him. The NBA had not seen anybody like Kareem. Or since. Yeah, McClellan.
Then how come he only won one title with Milwaukee?
He left.
I mean, Bill Walton.
He was only there
a
couple of years.
Well, Paulie asked, like, was he the dominant guy of the 70s? But he only really won one or two titles in the 70s. It feels like, not having seen this, it feels like he should have won more, just like you said.
Yeah. Yeah, probably so. But he left Milwaukee. He was only there a couple of years. Yeah, McClellan.
Isn't the game so different now that every 7-footer can shoot from 40 feet away too? Like, none of these guys played like Kevin Durant, right?
Well, that's why you almost have to have a top 10 for the 60s, for the 70s, for the 80s, the 90s. Like, just to be fair, because I feel bad saying something that sounds disparaging about Oscar or Wilt or Bill Russell. But I just don't. You know, if we're looking at championships, that hurts Wilt. You're looking at individual, like Bill Russell wasn't an offensive-minded player. He wasn't a good shooter. He just was an unbelievable force. He held the Celtics together. He was a guy who never lost. He was not going to lose a game. You know, Oscar got one title. So I don't, if I'm using all of the different requirements here, you know, how many titles you have and, you know, how long was your longevity, MVP, were you the best player in the sport? Like, there's so many things to factor in here. It just feels like, you know, is Kevin Durant getting in the top 10? I mean, that's how this started.
That's great.
Is Steph Curry getting in the top 10 when they're all said and done? Is there any other player right now where you go, they're going to get into the current top 10 is not going to stay. Somebody has fallen out. A couple of guys will fall out. And one of those guys could be Larry Bird. Karl Malone's not in there. Tim Duncan, because he won 5 titles, is in there. Is he staying in there? Probably so with those titles. Yeah, McLovin.
Have you seen enough in 3 preseason games out of LaMelo Ball?
Yes.
I know you love him.
He is going to be in the top 10 when it's all said and done. Smart Alec. Jump on the bandwagon with LaMelo. I'm just
saying.
You
owe that bandwagon. You are the driver.
Dan, we're going to back you to the hill. If anyone says his father wasn't there before.
No. I've been on the bandwagon before his dad was on the bandwagon of how great he's going to be this year in Charlotte.
You're the second trimester you were in.
I was. I'm all in on LaMelo Ball.
That's great.
You know what it is? I have to have reasons to watch certain teams. It is. Like, I fall in love. And normally, under normal circumstances, I would even go out on a second date. But I do this in sports where I'll go, God, I got to love somebody. Who am I going to love on Sacramento? Good. De'Aaron Fox. Okay. And then I watch so I can watch and be invested in there. But LaMelo Ball. Once again, another player in the NBA that I can shoot better than. It's a growing list. It is a growing list. Yes, Heaton.
I think Chris Mannix has LaMelo Ball as his rookie of the year.
So. Oh, yeah. Oh. And who does Chris Mannix listen to a certain show every day? Yeah, right here. Hello, Mannix. Because Mannix can't go. He has to follow mine because we know his predictions.
But how
they're
does that
usually
make you
not
feel
very
about
good.
Yours now.
Yes, McLevin.
Why did you pick Anthony Edwards? He was a number one pick. I'm totally joking. Has anyone even mentioned Anthony Edwards' name at all?
Well, he's the number one. I know, but he's a nice. He feels like he's a nice player. LaMelo Ball is going to be reason to. I'm telling you, he is going to be reason enough to watch the Hornets. I said it there. I said it. Yes, McLeod.
Feels like the T-Wolves took Robert Covington with the number one pick.
If you said I could watch Zion or LaMelo Ball, I'm watching LaMelo Ball.
Worried about you. We're worried about you.
I've been cooped up in this man cave for 10 months.
Here it comes.
When I look up, it's Todd.
I was waiting for that.
I can't get away. He keeps coming back.
Relentless.
I got to take a break. Nick Wright will join us coming up next. Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. You know, I love odd trivia, stuff that really doesn't matter. Last night, Ryan Finley had the fourth rushing touchdown in the history of the Cincinnati Bengals that was at least 20 yards or longer. I don't know how many franchises in NFL history. Like, the Bengals don't have much to be proud of, but it's Andy Dalton, Jeff Driscoll, Joe Burrow, Ryan Finley have all rushed for a touchdown of 20 yards or more, the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know what that means, but it's useless stuff. I always love listening to Nick Wright, First Things First on Fox Sports 1. And I agree with a lot of things that he says. And then Fritzy goes, Nick Wright's got a problem with you. I go, okay. So what's the problem, Nick? I hear you don't like the picture we use when we're promoting the fact that you're going to be on our show.
Well, listen, I mean, I've been on TV a few years. I've been a semi-public person for the better part of a decade. You have a lot of pictures to choose from. Yet you choose one where I have a shaved head and a double chin. And I feel like this is intentional. I mean, you have a army of team around you, mountain of resources. There's a lot of images, some flattering, some not, and some the one you chose. So, yeah, I do have a bit of a problem with that.
Okay.
Somewhat.
So you think that I went out of my way to make you look bad?
Yeah, I think I'm not going to name names here, but there is an all-time Pantheon great sports radio host who I believe once upon a time back in the day used to intentionally choose bad fill-in hosts. So when he came back, people were like, oh my God, you're the greatest. I think Dan Patrick chooses ill-fitting pictures for his guests. So it's like, man, even in his older years, that Dan Patrick, that's a good-looking guy.
Nick, you chose baldness. I didn't. You chose it.
I shaved my head to add an edginess to me, and it rose me to the heights I have since. And then I grew my hair out.
I was afraid of bald Nick. I'm not afraid of this Nick.
Yeah, I know. I'm soft.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. You are soft. I got on a rant here. I was wondering, and let's say when Durant is done, Steph Curry's done, like, are they top 10 players of all time? And if so, who are we taking out? Because we can't have 15 guys in a top 10.
That is, Dan, what a wonderful question. Because I just completed, I haven't yet released it, a project I'm working on for a year, the 50 best players of the last 50 years.
Okay.
So Kareem to now. Okay. So Wilt, Russell, Elgin, Oscar, Jerry, Mike, and those guys are not being included. And on that list, Durant is 12, Steph is 13. So ahead of them, Dr. J, Moses, Shaq, I'm going kind of in reverse order, 12 to 1. Shaq, Akeem, Bird, Kobe, Duncan, Magic, Kareem, Michael, LeBron. There might have been one name I left, so I'm doing it off the top of my head. But Durant's 12, Steph is 13, according to that. No, I don't. And if you include Wilt and Russell and Jerry West and Oscar, you got to move each of those guys down another four spots. So, no, I don't think it's likely for either of those guys to become top 10 of all time. And if we're just doing the modern era, I think they could. But, like, you got to move past Dr. J and Moses Malone. And then you got to move past Shaq or Akeem just to get to the top 10, at least in my eyes. I think Dr. J is totally underrated, but that's neither here nor there.
I saw him play against the Kentucky Colonels and ABA.
Yeah. And well, that's why he's underrated.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I whenever he would play against the Nuggets, I always felt bad for Bobby Jones. Bobby Jones was supposed to be this defensive star. And Dr. J left his great game on the playgrounds and in the ABA. And then what we got in Philadelphia, you got to see glimpses when they lost to the Blazers in the NBA Finals. And Doc was so unbelievable in the NBA Finals. But I'm with you. I don't know why he doesn't get recognized as one of the top 10, 15 players of all time.
Because listen, he was in the ABA, and it is off the top of my head. I think he won 3 ABA MVPs. I think he won they didn't have an ABA Finals MVP award. They had a playoff MVP award. He won 2 or 3 of those. He won championships there. And when he got to Philly, he did take them to 4 NBA Finals, at least 3 NBA Finals. They couldn't get over the hump, but they were up against awesome teams. And then once Moses joins him, that might be the greatest team ever. 83 Sixers, 86 Celtics, 01 Lakers, 2017 Warriors are, like, you know, all in the argument. And probably I'm probably leaving out one of the Showtime Lakers. So, yeah, but it's because his career is split. ABA, the NFL comp I would give, not that this is a top 10 guy, 12 guy of all time, Warren Moon is historically underrated because we just were like, he played in the CFL and was great there. It's like, no, he was the best player in the league by a mile when he was there. That's what Dr. J was.
Yeah, Dr. J, it's almost like he got to the NBA. It's like Kareem in the 70s, Kareem in the 80s. It was a different player, and you don't realize how dominating Kareem was when he first got to Milwaukee. A couple of things here. Better chance to reach the NBA final. I'm going to bounce around here.
Yeah, please.
Better chance to reach the finals, the Nets or the Sixers?
Sixers. Here's the thing with the Nets. The Nets are going to have the number one offense in basketball. I'd be shocked if they even have the number two offense. Their offense is going to be so dynamic, and Joe Harris is going to become a household name because he's going to hit a million open threes. They are going to have a bottom five, not 10, not 15, a bottom five defense. And I don't know how you solve it. I just don't know. And you can't win multiple playoff rounds with that type of defense. There's no historical precedent for it. The Sixers, on the other hand, I think are going to be good right off the bat, but their plan B is acquire James Harden. So it's like they're either going to be really good, or if they're not, you just go acquire James Harden because there's not going to be a package for him better than Ben Simmons. So Embiid, if you look at Embiid's statistical profile and remove last year, he looks like he's going to be a 30 and 15 guy. 2 years ago, Embiid was 28, 14, 2.5 blocks, went to game seven, you know, against Kawhi and the Raptors. They lose on a bucket. He could have made the finals a couple years ago. Last year was a down year for him. He is – Luka is who I would bet on and who I did bet on. The NBA won't give me a vote for awards, which is really criminal. There should be an investigation. But since I don't have one, I can gamble on it. So I bet a lot of money on Luka. But if Luka doesn't win it, my pick would be Durant and then Embiid would be the top three.
Yeah, I might go Durant as well. And I don't know if there's Greek freak fatigue.
He can't win it.
No way. Right? Well, I'm guessing he probably can't because, okay, let's say he averages what he averaged or improves a little bit and their best record in basketball. We've seen all of these things, and it feels like the voters want something new.
And like in the last 50 years, the only guy to win three in a row was Bird, and Bird was doing it in the midst of winning titles.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, he's just the best player in the league on the best team. I think that one of the reasons I like Luka is I think Giannis is I think Giannis could average 34, 17, and 6 and won't win it. Harden, no chance at winning it. He's in it every year, but I feel like nobody's going to reward how that's gone, right?
Yeah.
LeBron is going to play fewer games this year than maybe he has at any point in his career. Anthony Davis, it's hard for me to believe voters at the end of the year are going to be like, you know what? The most valuable player in the league is a guy I know isn't the most valuable player on his own team. So that hurts Anthony Davis. For Steph, the Warriors are going to be fighting to make it to the playoffs. So now who are we talking about? You know what I mean? You're like running out of people. I think KD is a really good option, but I think Luka is going to average 30, 10, and 9. And if that team's a top four seed, that'll win the MVP.
I like to watch bad teams, Nick, but I have to invest in a bad player on a bad team. Or a good player on a bad team, I should say. Okay. So LaMelo Ball has come to my rescue. I'm all in on LaMelo Ball. I'm all in. I think he makes them, the Hornets, not must-see TV, but must stop to watch a little bit of them, which would be a new phrase here. But I don't know where you stand on LaMelo Ball, but I'm all in.
Well, you know, you haven't asked me about gambling, so I'll bring it up a second time. Not that I have an issue. I bet a lot of money on him to win Rookie of the Year because I think people are going to consume the Hornets just like that. LaMelo's going to have nights where he's 3 for 17. Guess what? No one's going to know. But he's going to have nights where he shows up all over SportsCenter. Yeah. And, well, SportsCenter, that's a thing people used to watch. First things first on FS1 is where they now get sports information highlights. He's going to be top of mind. The Warriors want to win, so I don't think Weissman is going to get, you know, necessarily all the minutes, all the touches. And then I know Obi Toppin is like a popular pick with the Knicks. I don't know. I think LaMelo is going to have good numbers and good highlights, and it's not an overwhelmingly strong rookie class. I know that's unfair to say they haven't played a game yet, but in my eyes, it's not. I think LaMelo is a good pick. I think LaMelo also is going to be better than his brother.
I do too.
Yeah. I think he's going to be.
No, I do too. I mean, I think he's a legitimate matchup problem. He can get to the hoop, right hand, left hand. His shot, while it's too low for me, at least you have to at least acknowledge it on defense. But I like him. Now, the reason why I was going to have you on, believe it or not, was you said something about the Kansas City Chiefs where you talked about them. This might be the best road performance that we've seen. Now, I'm paraphrasing here.
Yeah.
Because I'm usually combing my hair and putting makeup on while I'm, you know, listening to First Things First, because I like to see Jenna Wolf on there. The Chiefs are having historically one of the greatest road seasons of all time. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, so they're 8-0 on the road. 8 teams have ever done that. And what they've done on the road is beat preseason Super Bowl co-favorite Baltimore at the beginning of the year before Baltimore had shown some weaknesses, went to Miami, scored 30 consecutive points when Miami was playing at its best, went to Tampa when Tampa was playing its best, beat them, went to New Orleans, and I understand Breeze was obviously not himself, but controlled that game, and take away what the Saints offense did. The Saints defense had been number one in football for 6 weeks, hung 32 on them, went to Oakland when Oakland was 6-2 or 6-3 and avenged that loss, their one loss of the year, and went to Buffalo and beat them. And their other two road games are the divisional games, Chargers game very early in the year and annihilating Denver. I mean, you've got six road victories over playoff caliber teams and three over the five Super Bowl co-favorites, essentially, or the five of the six. So, yeah, I feel like it's hard to show me a season where someone had a better road performance.
These numbers concern me, though, Nick. And Tony Dungy was on First Hour, and he said, I think the Chiefs are bored. They won by 2, 4, 3, 6, 6, 3 in their last six games. They won the games. They allow teams to hang around. And that's what's interesting come playoff time for me.
So allow me, I'm going to glance down because I have this saved on my phone. The final margins are not overly impressive. What is impressive is they're never in jeopardy. So by that I mean the last time the Saints had the ball with a chance to take the lead midway through the third quarter. For the Dolphins, it was in the second quarter. For the Bucs, it was in the first quarter. For the Bills, it was in the third quarter. For the Ravens, it was in the second quarter. So they certainly take their foot off the gas, get bored a lot, but there hasn't been a moment in the last 2 months where it's like, man, if the Chiefs, they have to get this stop or they lose. The only game that came close to that was Carolina when Joey Sly was kicking a 67-yard field goal to try to beat them. Like, that wasn't a real thing. And I do think, Dan, the Saints game, yeah, listen, it shouldn't have been as close as it was, and the Chiefs are just addicted to letting teams backdoor cover. I mean, they've won six in a row and didn't cover any of the games. That never happens. But the Saints scored that touchdown with 2:06 left and two timeouts. Against every team in all of NFL history, you kick off and try to stop them. I do wonder if against the Chiefs you have to consider onside kick there. If it's like, if we give it to Mahomes and he needs a first down, he's going to get it. Like, he's just going to get it. So I think this team is not going to lose until next season sometime.
He's Nick Wright, Fox Sports 1, and you've angered the bald community because you can grow hair. You wanted an edge, and you shaved your head. And now you're kind of thumbing your nose at the bald Nick Wright. Here's poor Todd Fritz. Todd wants to look like Mark Ruffalo. And take the hat off, Todd. Like, Nick should understand that, like...
Dan, somewhere in America, there is a bald man who loves the Los Angeles Clippers and lives in Buffalo, New York, and roots for the Bills. And if I ever show up missing, he's the number one subject. There's someone who all of my sports commentary and my follicle greatness, if we will, it represents everything he hates in the world. I don't think that's Todd Fritz, but no, I understand.
Fritzy's from Brooklyn, and he roots for the Broncos.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
Broncos and Astros.
Yeah.
Astros fine. It's tough to win when you don't cheat, but it's fine.
Next time you're on.
Yeah.
We're going to show this right here. This look right there.
That's great. I hope you're wearing the same sweater.
You know what? Maybe you got a baby picture. Maybe you send in one, you know, that your wife has one that you know, like little baby hot takes. We'll just say Nick Wright's joining us for baby hot takes.
Baby.
Little baby hot takes.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Nick. You too. Thank you, bud. Thank you, Nick. That's Nick Wright, Fox Sports 1. It's First Things First. We'll take a break. We're back after this close-up shop here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. I mentioned to Nick Wright, in these last six games, the Chiefs have won. They have won by less than a touchdown. The Chiefs are the first team in NFL history to win six consecutive games, each won by 6 points or less. Here's something to keep in mind. The Chiefs have held the lead at some point in 57 consecutive games, including the postseason. Second longest streak in NFL history.
Oh! Ow! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Woo! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! This is the stat of the day!
Lovely and talented Melissa Etheridge with our stat of the day. Tulane, Nevada, and Central Florida, BYU. Any of those games on this afternoon, Paulie?
Yeah, you got a great slate today. Tuesday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, a tradition like none other. Tulane, Nevada. Tulane's given a point and a half. Watch out for my boy Romeo Dubes, the wide receiver for Nevada. He's good. Then the big one later tonight, UCF versus BYU. The over-under is 77. That's the roofclaim.com Boca Raton Bowl or something.
Oh. Yeah, I might not watch that one. I got Warriors, Nets, Clippers, Lakers coming up tonight. Ring ceremony for the Lakers. This day in sports history, Paulie.
It's kind of a dry day. But how about this? 1996, Cordell Stewart of the Steelers ran 80 yards for a touchdown against Carolina. It was the longest scoring run by a quarterback in NFL history. That's it.
Daniel Jones wouldn't have approached that. How far was Daniel Jones's touchdown going to be before he fell down?
Checking.
Yeah.
I think it was. I think you might be right.
Yeah, I was just curious about that. All right. Final results of the poll question, McLevin.
All right. I left up who's the least scary AFC team, and it's the Dolphins. But guess who the loser in that poll was? The Titans. Only 1% are not scared of the Titans.
Only 1% is not?
Meaning that the Titans are the scariest AFC team I ever.
All right.
Derrick Henry, yeah?
Yeah, Paul.
Daniel Jones' run would have been, it looks like 88 yards or 89 yards if he didn't trip all over his
feet. Wow. Todd, what'd you learn today? I apologize. I couldn't get to phone calls here. We got caught up here, and I'll do my best tomorrow. Todd?
Tony Dungy's worried about the Chiefs. They appear bored and are playing with fire these days.
What did I learn today, Todd?
You learned that Aqib Talib had the toughest time going up against Calvin Johnson.
But that Jason Campbell story is wonderful. What We Learned brought to you by MasterClass, offering over 90 classes on a variety of topics, all taught by world-class masters at the top of their field this holiday. Buy an annual membership. Get another annual membership for free. Go to MasterClass.com/Patrick. MasterClass.com/Patrick. Thanks for joining us. We'll do it again tomorrow here on the Dan Patrick Show.